everybody. Welcome to Table Talk, a place for honest conversations and getting to meet friends. I'm here with my good friend, Chuck Davenport.
It's good to be with you.
There you go. Listen, Chuck is, what do you call it? Switch hitting?
Switch hitting.
Is that when you take somebody else's place in baseball?
Yeah, pinch hitter.
Pitch. That's pinch the one. Yeah. Pitch hitting. I don't even know what I'm saying. But it's when somebody fills in for somebody else, and Chuck is being so very kind and has jumped in. If you've been watching this series over Easter with us on Table Talk, Jonathan Morrison was supposed to get to be here and talk about Good Friday with us, and he is sick.
Yep, he is down for the count.
He's not well. So y'all be praying for Jonathan. And listen, knowing Jonathan, he's going to hate that I'm even saying
for
this
sure.
So that people would make sense. So maybe don't say anything to him when you see him.
Everyone say something to him. DM him, text him,
listen,
call him.
Listen, this is someone that wants to pick on Jonathan. I want Jonathan to feel better and not be mad at me. So, but he is sick, and so I was so very thankful Chuck is jumping in.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here.
So, super, super thankful to have you back with us at Table Talk. You've gotten to be here a few times, which is fun. But we are in our Easter series. If you're just hearing this now, Wes Holloman and I talked about Palm Sunday, which was just last Sunday. Yeah. And if you're like, what's the deal with Palm Sunday? Go back. Wes and I talked about that. It's a really great. You can catch that one. And then Stuart and I talked about Passover, which... He's
a well of knowledge.
Oh, my gosh. Awesome. The things that just come out of his brain blow me away. And we talked about Passover, and then Chuck's here with us. Talk about Good Friday.
I'm excited, yeah.
Crazy. So tomorrow is Good Friday. And as we're walking through Holy Week and really looking at Easter, so many people know they've heard of Good Friday.
Right.
They maybe even know, oh, that's when Jesus died on the cross.
Yeah.
But as a culture... We very quickly jump to Easter.
For sure.
Which I think just as a culture, we'd like the happy ending.
Yeah.
And not the getting to the happy ending. And so I wanted us to stop and take time and really look at, one, just what is Good Friday? Why should we be mindful of it? How should it change us? And so Chuck's amazing at talking about all of those things. So I appreciate you coming. So just first of all, explain just what is Good Friday?
So think like... of Jesus in the sense of leading the disciples, training the disciples, looking at them saying, drop your net, follow me, them giving everything and following Jesus as like rabbi, as teacher, as the son of God, as the chosen one, as the one who's here to deliver like God's people. And as they're following him, Good Friday is the leading up to the crucifixion. And it's the day like we remember, like our Savior being pinned to a cross, bearing all of our sin, defeating sin, being the one who is the sacrifice. And I always like, so my buddy goes to a church and they did a timeline. It was really cool. Like they texted out like the timeline. And
oh,
so
like what's happening.
Yeah. Like when Jesus was in the garden, like him getting arrested, him going to court and being tried and all of the timeline of what it looks like. And as I was like, watching and listening and hearing the text messages like he was telling me about, there was just a lot of empathy to the reality of Good Friday, like putting myself in the shoes of the disciples of, man, this is my teacher. This is my Savior. This is the one I've given everything to follow. And I'm seeing him pinned on a cross and put in a tomb, shamed, mocked, ridiculed. Disrespected, very intentionally too. Like people were doing this almost like as we watch like sports, they would like gather in this way to watch these crucifixions and get really rowdy. And they're watching like their Savior, their rabbi breathe his last breath.
Yeah.
And it's just this sobering reality to Easter weekend that sometimes we don't look back on.
Well, because we have the blessing of knowing the whole story.
Exactly.
You think about those disciples in that moment. Jesus had told them.
Yeah.
But even though they'd seen all that he did, there had to be part of them going, maybe he's going to come back.
For sure.
Maybe
he's
going to raise from the dead. Like they had a good amount of time where they were like, we don't know.
Right.
And they're just going on faith and hope because it was so foreign concept. You know, I mean, it still is. Listen, people raising, coming back from the dead is still
sure.
a deal.
Yeah.
But it hadn't happened.
Right.
We have the knowledge of, hey, this happened. Jesus is alive. So there was this time when they were going, he's just being ridiculed and I mean, and I think one thing, I don't like scary movies. I don't like graphic things. These are things I just don't care for. And to really, I don't think we will ever fully understand what Jesus went through.
Yeah.
Unless you really do the research, and I'm sure people have done that.
Right.
But I think it's just so far beyond what we can imagine.
One of the analogies I heard early on, like I was at one of those East Texas revivals when I was in college, and the pastor was preaching on the weight that Jesus bore on the cross. And it clicked with me because coming from football culture, sports culture, lifting weights was a big part of what we do. And I still love it. Well, there's one person who walks the face of the earth who has the strongest bench press. There's only one person in the history of bench press. There's one person who knows what it's like to hit that ultimate, like most heavyweight that anyone's ever done. And you got to put into perspective, it's like there's one individual who's bore the weight of your sin, and none of us will know like what that's like. It's only Jesus.
That's right.
He's the only one who knows what it's like to bear all of that weight. Mm-hmm. And it helped me just kind of realize like, man, he really is like the only one who did that and accomplished that. And so that like helped me understand,
that's,
I guess,
a good way of thinking about it. Yeah. Okay. So he went through all of this. He bore all of our sin. Why do we call it good?
Yeah. Right. So I want to read this.
Yeah.
So I have, I'm preaching the sunrise service.
Oh, that's right.
So y'all come to the sunrise service.
6:30 a.m. at the cross. Early. It's listen, one of my all-time favorite services. We have done it for years and years and years. Yeah. When our kids were teeny tiny, they would come in their PJs.
Oh, that's cool.
And we would bring their little chairs and their pajamas, and that's what we did for Easter.
Oh, that's fun.
And they remember it. I mean, I love that service.
That's awesome.
It's so good.
I'm excited. Okay, so think timeline. Think disciples following Jesus. They've given everything. It's coming up to the crucifixion. Jesus is praying in the garden in Gethsemane. Judas betrays him. He's arrested. There's the trial before the Sanhedrin. So the disciples who have given everything to follow Jesus just watched one of their own betray Jesus. Mm. They are watching Jesus be dragged before the political authorities, the religious political authorities at that. Peter finds himself isolated and he denies Jesus. Jesus has his trial before Pilate. He's sent to Herod. He's mocked. Pilate sentences Jesus to crucifixion. Jesus is scourged. He's mocked. He carries his cross to Golgotha. Simon of Cyrene helps. Jesus is nailed to the cross. Darkness covers the land. Jesus speaks from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Right? Jesus declares it is finished. He breathes his last breath. The temple and the veil is torn, right? The centurion declares, truly, this was the Son of God. There's so much in that space of vulnerability for those who are there that Friday, of just like, what is going on? Like, this is the one who is Messiah. This is the one who we have given everything to follow. This is the one we're placing all of our hope in. And we're watching him be treated worse than people who have come before him, who claimed that they were the Messiah. And so Jesus was not the first one to come and say, I'm the chosen one. I'm the Son of God. I'm the one who's coming to deliver you. He wasn't the first one. Others were killed and they didn't resurrect.
That's right.
And so they'd have this huge following and then it would die out. This huge following and then it would die out. And so there's just this like vulnerability to look back on. And for us thinking, man, why is it Good Friday? Because Jesus, living the perfect life, bearing the weight of our sin, being crucified, dying, breathing that last breath, saying it is finished, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, right? The byproduct of their sin was death, and it was punishment from God, right? Like, hell is a reality. God is a just God. And so Jesus coming, and whenever he was crucified and whenever he died, that's a byproduct of sin, which is death. But Jesus didn't deserve that because he never sinned. He lived a perfect life. And so we get to look forward to Sunday, to the resurrection, where he defeats sin and he defeats death. And so we aren't left in that vulnerability of that Friday and Saturday that the disciples and that the those following Jesus were in, because we get to look to Sunday. And so we call it Good Friday because we know he's pinned to the cross, he resurrects, and he defeats death. Mm-hmm. And when he defeats death, he defeats sin. And so I don't know if they were there on Friday saying,
right, this is a good
Friday.
Right.
Not at all.
That's since
we've
put that terminology. But I think people probably do have that question of like, why is it good? Well, because he died for all of our sins.
For sure.
So we have forgiveness of sins because he did that on the cross. And so we talk about, you know, it's Holy Week. We're talking about Easter and all the things Easter. Maybe two-part question. Why should we think about it any other time?
Right.
And then how can we, if we should, how do we purpose to do that?
For sure. Yeah. And so think of Jesus, Son of God, on his throne next to the Father, eternity in mind. He leaves that and he comes and he puts on flesh. Born of a virgin, baby, vulnerable, on the run, like as he is a baby, matures into a man, spends 30 years sinless, starts his ministry, raises up the disciples, starts the early church, crucified, resurrects, commissions the church to go to the ends of the earth. Holy Spirit comes, dwells within God's people. Why should we remember the crucifixion? I think one of the reasons is we pursue Jesus when we remember what he's done for us. And really, that is in a response of him pursuing us whenever he came and he defeated sin. And he died and he resurrected and he defeated the reality of sin having a hold on us eternally. And so we look at what Jesus did as he pursued us. And then our response to that is, Jesus, I want to pursue you by remembering like what you've done. Mm-hmm. And so there's a bunch of ways that can play out. One of my favorite things to do is I have like a notes app with scripture on it, and I try to pray through it 3 or 4 times a week. And a part of that is the crucifixion. Mm-hmm. And so just walking in the reality of what Jesus did and remembering that brings me humility, because our Savior was so much, like he was so humble, like to do that. And so I think reading through the scripture, praying through the scripture, remembering the scripture. Also, I think talking about it. Mm-hmm. And so like talk about it with your friends and family, with other believers in your connect groups and your circle of people that you surround yourself with. Make it a habit to remember what your Savior has done for you. And y'all know this. We're in a culture of distraction.
Yeah.
It is so easy to get in a rhythm and to just push out the reality that our whole rhythm is supposed to be glorifying Jesus. We get in this like rhythm of like, I'm going to show up on Sunday, I'm going to be here on Wednesday, and that's my like devotion to the Lord, versus like waking up daily and saying, I want to like live to glorify Jesus and remember what he did for me.
Yeah.
And in remembrance, give everything I have to him. And so like there's different ways you can pray. You can read scripture. You can talk about it with your people. I think the big thing is pursuit is I am pursuing Jesus when I remember what he did for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope when I stand before him that he will acknowledge that I pursued him in response to his pursuit of me.
I love that.
That's really pretty.
What about, how do we hold the hard darkness of Good Friday?
Yeah.
And being good that Jesus did this for us.
Mm-hmm.
And the celebration of Easter, of he's alive. Not necessarily just for Easter weekend, but just in our daily life, having that balance of he died for me because I am a sinner that needs a Savior. But not stopping there, not Jesus on the cross, but the celebration of also he's alive.
For sure.
And I get the promise of eternity with him, and the celebration that both of those things bring, but also the need for confession, the need to see my sin, and that I did deserve to die on a cross. And Jesus did that for me. And figuring out how do you mesh yeah. those two things together just in your daily walk with the Lord.
For sure. And I think a lot of it is what is your response to the sacrifice that Jesus gave? Mm-hmm. Is it like you're playing Monopoly and you're like, I get a get out of jail free card, but this is my get out of hell free card? Is that like,
and I can do whatever I want.
For sure. And I would say that's not a healthy response, because a healthy response looks at the sacrifice that Jesus gave and says, hey, Jesus, I see your sacrifice. Like, you sacrificed yourself, even though I'm a sinner. And I love Jesus and I believe in Jesus. I think he's the Son of God. I think he's the risen King. I think the only way I will inherit the heavenly kingdom is I'll stand before God one day and I'll say, your Son and my relationship mm-hmm. with your Son is the only reason I can walk and walk through those gates. Well, Jesus gave a sacrifice, and I think a healthy response to that sacrifice, him being crucified and all of that, is to look at that and say, like, okay, God, I see your sacrifice. Now what I want to do in response to your sacrifice is I want to sacrifice like my life. And I don't want Chuck to sit on the throne of my life. I want Jesus to sit on the throne of my life. I want him to be Lord. I want to funnel everything that I do like through him. And so I can just speak to my testimony a little bit. I want to be a husband so that Jesus would get glory. I want to be a father so that Jesus would get glory. I want to be an employee so that Jesus would get glory. I want my coworkers to see Jesus through the way that I work. And I work here now at Sagemont, right? I'm the discipleship pastor. And so I work like in a church setting.
Yeah.
But before here, I was a coach. I worked at Home Depot at one point. And so I was literally stocking shelves in hopes that my coworkers and people that I encountered would see Jesus somehow, some way. Well, that's in response to understanding the sacrifice that Jesus gave. Yeah. That doesn't come naturally.
Right.
Like, I have to be super intentional to apply, Lord, I want to live sacrificially, similarly to you. And there's a dark reality to Jesus coming and being sacrificed in so much darkness, like surrounding that, in the sense of he bore the weight of our sin, even though he didn't like have to do that. Like he could have just stayed on his throne and he could have been like Zeus in Greek mythology and just punished all of us. Like there's so many different ways it could have played out, but he loves us so much that he wanted to build that bridge for us to be reconciled and be in relationship with him. And so I think a healthy response is, I see your sacrifice, and because of your sacrifice, I now am willing to sacrifice sitting on the throne of my life. I want you to sit on the throne. Mm-hmm. And so please, would you do that?
I love that. One thing you mentioned whenever I asked you to come do this, you said you're really liking looking at the silence of Saturday.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's so cool, because we do. We jump from Friday to Sunday real fast, right? And we forget there is a whole day.
Literally, yeah.
A whole day that people walked in silence of not knowing, of waiting. And I think so many of us have seasons or areas in our life when we feel like I'm sitting in Saturday.
Yeah.
And this is where I'm sitting.
For sure.
So talk to me a little bit about why you, like, he got real excited.
Yeah, I did.
So
I
like,
did. Yeah.
Tell me why you got excited about that part.
So like, so I'm preaching on Easter, and I've never preached on Easter.
Okay.
So I've always kind of been like the middle of the week preacher. And I've had a couple Sundays, but never like, I'm usually the, hey, it's the Sunday after New Year's. Like, it's the second Sunday in Thanksgiving. Like, it's right, I'm the plug and play preacher, whatever church I've been at. And so preaching Easter has just been something that's been a cool thing to navigate. And as I was looking at the timeline of Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and roughly, right? Because like, we don't know minute by minute, hour by hour, the exacts, that silent Saturday. So you have Good Friday, the crucifixion Friday, you have silent Saturday, and then you have the resurrection Sunday. Well, that silent Saturday is, I think, a space where a lot of believers find themselves sometimes, where they had given everything to follow Jesus. They watch him breathe his last breath. They watch him get put in a tomb, and they watch the guard. Like, they watch it get sealed. They watch the guard there. So now in their mind, there's this vulnerability of, he's no different than the people who have walked before him. We saw the miracles, mm-hmm. right? We listened to his teaching. Like, he has a wisdom that we have never seen before, but there have been people who walked before him who built a following, and then they died and it just stopped. Exactly. And so you see the disciples kind of go back to their professions, mm-hmm. like what they had done before, back to fishing, back to this, back to that, back to like their family, back to their people, and kind of split up. Some of them make mistakes like Peter in the sense of like denying Jesus. And there's like this space where they kind of go back, and there's this day of uncertainty mm-hmm. in that Saturday. They were confused, fearful, grieving. It's this time of waiting, right? God, Jesus, still at work, but feeling the silence mm-hmm. and then borderline questioning, like, if he's really at work mm-hmm. in that space. Like, is he really the Son of God? Is he really the Savior? Is he really the Messiah? Or, like, in this silence, is my doubt going to become king? Is my doubt going to become what reigns over my life? And so for me, that waiting space of Silent Saturday is where I think a lot of believers sometimes find themselves. Maybe you were super on fire and super zealous, and that has kind of faded mm-hmm. some. Maybe the distractions of the world, the trials that come our way, loved ones getting sick, loved ones yep. passing away, yep. Losing a job, mm-hmm. all different kinds of things. You personally going through different things, relationship issues. Like, there's so much that can go on that causes uncertainty, that puts us in a space where we feel like, God, where are you? Mm-hmm. Like, you're being silent. Well, here's the beauty in that is we're in a different spot than they were, because we're on the other side of mm-hmm. it. And so we can look to the victory found in Jesus and in the resurrection, but also we have his word. We have the Bible. Mm-hmm. And so they sat in Silent Saturday without like that love letter that yeah. God has given us called the Bible. Yeah. And so we don't have as much excuse, I guess, in that yeah. Silent Saturday is a way to put it, where we may feel the uncertainty, we may feel the vulnerability, we may feel the silence, but God has provided us his word, which is his character revealed to us. And so we can go to that continually. And so it's almost one of those things where, like, if you're watching this and if you come to the Sunrise service, one of the things I'm going to challenge you in is if you find yourself in that Silent Saturday, you don't have to continue in that space. Like, God has given you his word. Mm-hmm. Like, he will speak to you through his word. Mm-hmm. Now, he may not answer you how you want to be
right.
answered.
Don't go cherry picking to get the answers you
exactly,
want.
Exactly. Yeah. Be careful of letting Google become your right. God, in a sense. Mm-hmm. But like, he has given us the Bible to mm-hmm. meet us in that Silent Saturday. And so that's specifically for the believers, is if you're in that season of uncertainty, you can find certainty yeah. in God's word.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that gets me excited.
And it's so cool. And I forget that the disciples didn't have the Holy Spirit.
Right.
You know, I mean, like, that constant presence and the, you know, when Jesus is like, I'm with you always,
yeah.
that it was different.
Yeah.
For them. And so having the Bible, having as believers the promise of the Holy Spirit, yeah. I mean, we should react differently.
For sure.
In seasons of silence and waiting. Yeah. And I love that, because if you are in a season when you're like, God's not speaking to me, pick up the Bible.
Yeah.
Pick up the Bible.
And like, there's also some empathy where it's like, you're not alone in that.
No.
Like, please hear from us.
Yes.
Like, as church leaders, as people who have been walking with the Lord for years, there are still seasons of uncertainty. I mean, I have
absolutely.
A 4-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a baby that's being born any day. And me and my wife look at each other sometimes and we're like, we're uncertain about how things are going. Like, we're very certain in the Lord. But like, there are seasons where we're stretched thin,
absolutely.
We're tired, we're emotional, like there's so much going on. And so there's empathy to look at the people who walked with Jesus and to mm-hmm. see them also have uncertainty. Like, they were human just
that's
like
right.
we are. They're broken
right.
just like we are, sinners yep. just like we are. And Jesus loved them, pursued them, and still used them. And so the good news there is you can be in that season of uncertainty. God loves you. He will use you. And he has a purpose for you, and he'll yep. speak to you even amidst all of that. And you can find certainty in the resurrection, whereas they hadn't gotten there yet.
That's right.
Yeah.
I love that. So good. Y'all, I hope that gets you excited about celebrating over the next few days, very specifically, the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ and what that means for each and every one of us. And, you know, we say this all the time, man, listen, we want you to come and celebrate that with us here at church. But we also know, listen, there's work, there's different things like that. But whatever you have going on, purpose this weekend to stop and to be thankful and thoughtful about what Jesus did on the cross and that he is alive. And if you're able, come hang out with us here at Sagemont. Listen, we have Good Friday service tomorrow night at 6:30 in the worship center. And Bill says this, it's becoming one of the favorite services of the year. Yeah. It's a beautiful service. It's, what does he say? It's more subdued. Yeah. It's, I mean, it really is this time to come and purposely stop and think about what Jesus did for us on the cross. And I love this service. So Friday night at 6:30 and then Saturday night at 6:30, we added a service this year. It will be the exact same service as Sunday morning. So if you can come on Saturday, know you're opening up some seats on Sunday, which is really, really great. I will say this. We added a Saturday service at Christmas Eve. Oh. And it was packed.
Yeah, it was.
So if you're coming on Saturday night, don't be like, oh, this is the one nobody's going to.
Yeah, come early.
I don't think that. Come early, make sure so you can get a spot, all that kind of stuff. And then sunrise service.
Sunrise.
6:30 a.m. with Chuck. Yeah. It's going to be super good. And then 8 o'clock.
Yep.
9:30. 11:15. All three of those will be the same as the Saturday night service in the worship center. Again, if it starts at 9:30, try to be here at 9:15 or 9:10. If you walk in at 9:32, it's hard.
It is.
It's just harder. And we don't want that for you. We want you to be able to come in and have a spot and be focused and ready when service actually starts. And so try on Sunday to get here early and find a spot. And listen, Levi's preaching.
It's going to be awesome.
Worship.
Yeah.
There's some kind of surprise.
Yeah.
Bill Cole keeps talking about something. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
If you come to the early services, don't spoil. Don't tell everybody what it is, so that 11:15 people still get the surprise.
Yeah. And remember to extend an invitation to those around you. Like, I think the stat is like 70 to 80% of people are willing to discuss Christianity and going to church if a believer would just approach them. Mm-hmm. And so don't hesitate. Like I live in this little cul-de-sac, and it's funny because every house is so different, and the stage of life that people are in is so different. And the Lord very uniquely has me in that space for him to get glory. And so don't rob yourself of the blessing of just simply inviting people to come.
Absolutely.
The worst thing you say is no. Right.
Right. Oh. Yeah. And they'll feel loved because you invited them. And that's a huge piece of it. And you and I, the people we talk to through the years and Sunday mornings and stuff. And when we ask them, how did you end up at Sagemont? Shoot, 95%. Someone invited me. No. I mean, that is what it is. And then you get to be a part of that, you know? So look around you, houses next door to you, people you work with, that kind of stuff. Just make the invitation. Just say, hey, I'm going at this time. I'd love for you to come with us. And so super fun that we can be a part of that. So listen, we are praying for y'all this weekend that it really is just a time of renewal and excitement and answered prayers and all of those kinds of things that we're asking the Lord for. And then whatever it is, take the next step. Do the thing, listen to the Lord, follow in obedience to whatever he's calling you to do. And if there's anything we can do, Chuck specifically, me specifically, or Sagemont at large, anything we can do to help you with that, we so want to do that with you. We want to be able to celebrate what the Lord's doing in your life and come alongside you when it's hard. And we have the blessing of getting to do that a lot, which is great. So thank you so much for coming.
Well, thank y'all for having me. It's
hey, awesome. And y'all be praying for Chuck over the next couple days. Preaching Easter Sunday morning. It's really exciting. I love that you're taking it seriously and you see it as a little bit different.
Oh, for sure.
Like that's an encouragement to be like, that's cool. You know, that's really awesome. So y'all be praying for Chuck. And he literally does have a baby due.
Any day.
Like
any day. So pray for Marianne.
pray for Mary Ann that she will make it to when she's supposed to make it, and logistics of adding a third baby and work and all the things. So we'll be praying for y'all and all that y'all are doing. So, but thanks so much for hanging out. Hey, listen, next Thursday on Table Talk, Pastor Levi is going to be here with us talking about, okay, we did Easter, now what? What are those steps after Easter? We just celebrated. We just did a thing. How does that impact me? What am I doing next? So come back next Thursday to hear from Pastor Levi. So thanks for hanging out. We will see you next time on Table Talk.